It is too. They're more entertaining than I am. I'm sorry. The miracle, though, is this. Let's see if we can finish. The miracle is like little kids coming to see the baby in the manger. That's the way we need to be. We may giggle and laugh while they're distracted, but the first thing they did is they wanted to see the baby in the manger. And that becomes an important lesson for us all, to realize that God wants us also to listen and experience the stable, a manger, because one of the things that God says to us is, if I came to save you, I came into the stable and I came into a world to take your life and help you with it and save you. So one of the things I'll be trying to talk about in my sermon is how that all took place. And I hope we can remember that. Good. Carol, underneath your feet, there's a little treat down there. Go ahead. Grab something. Yeah, you're welcome, honey. That's right. Stay there. Stay there. You're fine. You bring him back when he comes. That's good. Hurry up. Grab something. There you go. There are a lot of characters in the reality of the birth of Christ. A lot of different individuals that have a place in it. Some experience the birth. Others simply hear it. It's like an announcement, or it's like a newscast, or something you hear on the radio. They never enter in. Nothing ever really changes them. There's none of that little child wonder, awe of walking up and wanting to look at and touch the precious child that's been born. Much less an ability to understand what it implies for them and what it really means in their life and circumstances. And so obviously, when we start picking the individuals out, finding out, for instance, what Zechariah had to deal with. Zechariah, in the question of an angel coming to him, suddenly goes, how can this be? And as a result, he's unable to speak for the rest of the 9+ months that Mary is pregnant and before the child is born. His experience of Christmas, of the birth of a child, is different than some of the others, because for the first time, he experiences a release from the stupidity or the naivete or ignorance or stubbornness, whatever it was in Zechariah that caused him to doubt what God was speaking to him through the angel. And at that moment, Zechariah experienced Christmas in the sense of being released, being forgiven, being able to speak, being able to recognize that his name will now be called John. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was born before Jesus and was going to be the forerunner, the proclaimer, the announcer, to get them all ready for that. And so we've got that, you know, put together in the backdrop of Mary. And Mary, in her particular circumstances, like was pointed out, was probably somewhere between 14, 15 or so. And that sounds so young to us, but in this culture, that would have been very typical. Mary, however, receives the information with a totally different spirit. For her, the birth, the message, is totally more personal, more life-changing, more physical-changing, as she has to deal now with a pregnancy, as well as people looking at her, questioning her, wondering how come she's pregnant and dealing with this. And so we have her experiencing Christmas with all the unique sides that she lives through and experiences. Then you come to Joseph, and we hear the testimony that he gives. And even in the testimony that was shared, we realize it was very difficult for Joseph to comprehend all that is implied, that he was going to be the father of the promised one, the Messiah. And not only that, he had to be told, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because he literally was legally married to her. He would have had to legally divorce her. They had shared a pledge. We call them engagement rings, and that is not even close to what this is. This is a pledge. It's a contractual relationship. We will, when the time is appropriate, we will consummate this marriage that we've already agreed to and understand that we're in. So Joseph finds out his wife is pregnant, and he has to deal with all of the emotions and the uncertainties that he has to deal with. So Christmas to him is also a totally different experience. It's not warm and fuzzy. It's challenging. His buddies may have laughed, mocked him, teased him, ridiculed, or whatever they may have done. And so you've got that backdrop that you have to realize is Joseph's Christmas. You go from there, and you begin to understand you've got the shepherds. And the shepherds themselves experience Christmas in the unbelievable Shekinah glory of God that comes down and breaks into their night, and they're scared. The word is sore afraid in the King James. Terrified. I mean, they were struck, literally terrified, shaking by what they were dealing with, something that they never experienced, the same way I would be or you would probably be, given the same opportunity or experience. We would be sitting there with a set of emotions that would be just about unbelievable for us, because we don't hardly know what we're looking at. A light brighter than the sun. The Apostle Paul experienced that, and he said, I could not believe how bright the light of God was that stopped him on the road to Damascus. The Shekinah glory of God came down in the Old Testament on the tabernacle, and it said the prophets, Moses and Aaron and the priests, could not even enter the tabernacle because of the presence of God, of the glory of God there in that place. And so we have to understand these shepherds were experiencing something totally beyond anything within the framework of their comprehension. And they're giving a relatively complex message to go and find out, test to see if what we're telling you is true. There's this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, swaddling clothes, I shared earlier in the first service, were literally grave cloths. They're strips of cloth, somewhere between 6 and 8 feet long normally. The very thing that Jesus is wrapped in after he dies. And as they wrap him up, the different materials that would be in there, the different incenses and things like that to keep the smell down, were wrapped up there also. And so here's this baby put in this manger, and here's this Savior put in this grave, wrapped in the same basic cloth, and you begin to understand there is something more going on at Christmas than just, let's get to the cake, let's get to the cookies, let's get to whatever the treats are later tonight. There is something going on that is world-changing, life-changing. Joseph experienced, Mary experienced it, the shepherds experienced it. And in one sense, obviously, we need to experience it, because every one of us needs that kind of intimacy with Christ in the manger, Christ the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ the Savior, Christ on the cross, and Christ the one who indwells me now and empowers me to deal with life and circumstances. There are two characters we haven't got to that we will read about soon, and that's Simeon and Anna. Simeon is a relatively old man, because when he finds out that Mary and Joseph have come to the temple, and he sees and gets to hold that child, and he picks that child up in his arms, he looks at God and he says, now you can let me depart in peace. I have seen this child. I understand what you have done, and your promises have been fulfilled. He is in a totally different position from Christmas than all those other individuals, because he walks into it with the knowledge that God wanted him to have, and he experiences this baby as his Savior, as the rescuer of the Jewish nation, as the one who brings healing and strength and grace and power into these people's lives. And so Simeon celebrates the birth of Christ differently than anyone else. Anna, who's somewhere about 84 plus years old, is also in the temple, and she also speaks prophetically over this precious child that Mary and Joseph have. And then you have to understand, she is at a totally different level also. She's filled with the Spirit. They're operating with the presence of God, and God is reminding us of which one of those ways do you need to receive Christ? Which thing do you need in your life now? Which one of those characters or people, individuals, that as they share their thoughts here and experiences here in the story, sometimes you need the shepherd experience. Sometimes you need something that just blasts into your life and shakes you loose from the lethargy that you've grown up in or that you've allowed to settle in. And so that is one of those things where you've got to literally be grabbed and shaken from where you are, because the path you're walking on is one of self-destruction. Sometimes you're so filled with the presence of God, Christmas is just an unbelievable experience for you, and you begin to understand the beauty of that moment. Lord, I see your hand of miracle and grace. I know the birth of the Savior is real. I have watched it. I've tested it. I found out, Lord, all these things. Not a single other religion in the world has a Savior or one of its prophets prophesied before his birth. Not one. And you have to understand the significance. Not only prophesied, but prophesied for thousands of years before the event. Prophesied in such a way that every one of those prophecies had to become true, up to including the virgin birth, up to and including being born in Bethlehem, up to and including having to come back out of Egypt. So when the wise men eventually come and they bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's no accident. That's the financial support that Mary and Joseph need to escape from King Herod, who wants to kill the baby Jesus. So you understand, in this framework, we've got everything from the people that wish this child dead to the people that walk up and look at it and touch it in awe, from the people that recognize because they've known the word and understand what God is doing, the people that have understood exactly what's happening, as well as those that just hate the concept of a Savior, hate what Christ places in terms of their expectations, hate the very reality that because of their sinfulness, they need a Savior. And because this is Jesus Christ, the Savior, brought to the world, born in this way, so that he is probably as easy to receive as anyone can receive this precious child here in the manger. And so you begin to recognize Christmas is not a singular event. It's not just did we sing enough sin songs, or did we not sing the song you like, or did we sing them at the wrong pace, or all the things that we can make it about, and all the things about presents, and all the things about cookies and food later on, and all that other stuff. All of that is ultimately of no value. The closest thing you've got of any value are the people that are sitting next to you right now. Everything else ceases, burns, as the scripture says. It'll all burn. You can't take it with you. What's the old saying? You'll never see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it because you can't bring it with you. And the point ultimately is this, that the people who are sitting next to you are responding to Christmas, either from Herod all the way down to the precious little girl that came up and wanted to see the baby in the manger. They respond with all kinds of different emotions, attitudes, and feelings, because each one of us is unique and we're at different places in our walk with the Lord. And in that process that we're in, when God brings Christmas into our world and offers us the Savior, what you do with that now is up to you. How you respond to it, how you carry it forward. And so, excuse me, as we begin to understand that, we begin to recognize Jesus came into the world to bring life, to bring a change of life for you, to give you answers to the questions in your life, to give you purpose and meaning. Without God, you have ultimately no purpose and meaning. You just live and you die. And so you begin to understand this Savior, this Christmas event that took place in Bethlehem, literally drove that spike in the ground that said every bit of your life matters to Jesus Christ. Every bit of your strengths and your weaknesses, your needs matter to Him. And so in that kind of attitude, the question that I pose to you is, what is Christmas ultimately to you? Is it singing the right song? Is it getting or giving the right gift? Is it just simply the food? Are you treasuring the people that you're interacting with? Do you know that if they don't see Christmas for the event that it was really meant to be, to bring salvation into the world, they're going to go to hell? That ruins people's Christmases when you think of it that way. But that's ultimately the bottom line truth. When the shepherds knelt, and when the innkeeper and his wife knelt or worshiped, you begin to understand there is an interaction that Christmas was entering into them. They were entering into the event, and they understood exactly what was going on. So my challenge and my invitation to you is, value the people that you're with tonight. Make sure every one of them understands the gift of the child. Make sure every single one of them understands that they need this child to save them from their sins. Just like it says, Mary pondered. Pondered means to contemplate, to think, to kind of mull over in her mind all the things that were going on. And so from the moment of the announcement of the angel right up to the death of her son, she was seeing and watching this entire thing unfold in front of her. And so we've got that kind of example set for us. And so when we sit there and decide, was it a good Christmas? The answer is, it's always a good Christmas. Was it good in your life? Does it change and bring healing and direction and purpose? Are you walking with the Lord or are walking away from Him? That's the invitation. Can you come and kneel at the manger, or do you want to stay on the outside and walk in the other direction? Or maybe even join those, like Herod, that wanted to kill the child. Because that's what we're all capable of. Pray with me if you would. Lord, this precious child in the manger is not who you are today. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you did come in this way, so that we could receive you, hold you, treasure you, and just understand the vulnerability with which you enter into the lives of each one of us. There are things in us that need healing, Lord. We pray that you'd heal them. There are things in our life, Lord, that need truth, and we pray that you'd bring truth. There are things in our lives, Lord, that we need to walk away from and change our behavior. There are things in our lives, Lord, that are needed to heal our marriages and be a blessing to our parents and a blessing to our children. And in all those things, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to do the work that you're doing. Lord, there is so much more to Christmas than just the event itself. It is that moment when all of us understand, this is for you, my child. This is why I came. This is the person. You are the one I want to save. And in the miracle of that, Lord, we ask that you'd bless us, keep us close to you, draw us back if we've walked away, and keep us full of your presence and your love. We pray that in your name, Jesus.